Matthew 17, verse 24. I'll not preach what I preached last night, but we do want to finish out this text. Don't y'all want to finish out this text? See what God has for us. Verse 24, and when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, doth not your master pay tribute? He saith, yes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, what thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom did the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? Peter saith unto him, of strangers. Jesus saith unto him, then are the children free, notwithstanding lest we should offend them. And that's where we stopped off last night. We're going to pick back up. And go thou to the sea, and cast an hook, and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. So we're assuming that this piece of money was a full shekel, because they both owed a half shekel to the temple. All right? Can we make that assumption? Amen. That take and give unto them for me and thee. All right? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for all you've done for us today. I thank you for the songs of Zion that's been sung tonight. That's Send the Light. Lord, it stirred my soul tonight. Oh, thank you, Lord, Father, that the gospel was brought to us. But thank you, Father, that we get to take the gospel to others. And I pray, dear God, that you'd burden hearts tonight. Lord, there may be a missionary sitting in our midst tonight that's just not yet surrendered. There may be a young person or a young family or a young man that you're wanting to call to preach, or a young lady you're wanting to send to the mission field, dear God. I pray, dear God, that you would touch hearts tonight. Lord, we talk so much about giving money, and we should give money to missions, but Lord, we need men for missions and women for missions. And I pray, dear God, that you help us to make that plea tonight. We love you, Lord, and we praise you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Might be seated tonight. Just a little recap. There's a couple people that were not here last night or yesterday evening, but we talked about the context of this chapter or this text, and we talked about how Jesus is teaching a lesson to Peter about redemption in these verses, about how right then Peter owed money to the tabernacle or to the temple to redeem for his lack of work in the temple. And we learned that one day that Jesus died on the cross, shed his blood so that Peter and nobody else had to pay a half shekel of silver to be redeemed, but we are now redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. And then we went a little further and proved from the scripture how Jesus was not bound by this tribute that we find in Exodus 30. Excuse me, and I'm going to burp a little bit. I'm sorry. It's her fault. Amen. And that pie. Thank you for that pie. I had it again today, and then I took another piece home. But that has nothing to do with the message. But anyway, glory to God. But Peter, okay, here we go. We found out that Jesus did not owe any man any tribute money. Jesus was not bound by the scriptures, but he says in verse 27, notwithstanding lest we should offend them, he went ahead and paid the tribute because he would rather do something that he doesn't necessarily have a thou shalt or a thou shalt not in the Bible. He doesn't have a clear verse saying that he had to do it, but he went ahead and did it in order to keep from offending those that it might hinder from coming to him. And we figured out and we found out about Christian liberty last night, and we studied that, and we talked about there are things in the Christian life that we do not because we have a scripture and verse on it, but we simply do it because we want to win others to Jesus. Is that right? A lot of times we don't win people to us, and therefore we don't win them to Jesus. All right? That don't mean we have to become like people to win them. Amen? If I bring in blue lights and the drama team, we got enough drama in the Baptist church without bringing in a team. Can I get an amen right there? Don't need no more drama in the Baptist church. Amen? But if we went into bringing in rock bands and things like that in order to reach the world, you know what's happened? The world's reached us. We've not reached the world. And so tonight we have to put up guards about that, and we need to be different. They need to see us being different. The Bible says in Romans 11:11 that because of their fall, talking about the Jews, that the Gentiles, salvation is coming to the Gentiles. And the Bible says that we might provoke them unto jealousy. So how is we, as the Gentile believers, how are we to provoke provoke the Jew unto jealousy? Well, the answer is in Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech ye therefore, brethren, that by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind to prove what is that acceptable, perfect, and good will of God. Tonight, we are to live those two verses out in our lives in order not just to provoke the Jews unto jealousy to bring them back to God, but that we can be a light to the lost and dying world, that they might see our good works, and let your light so shine before men that they might see our good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Amen. I'm trying not to preach that again. Y'all pray for me. But are y'all with me? I know I'm going fast. I sound like an auctioneer up here tonight. Amen. It's all about starting auctioning off them songs a while ago. What do you be? What do you be? What do you be? $500, $500. And, but I want to get to verse 27. Go thou. This is the miracle, right? This is the miracle part. And we're going to make an application. There's one context or one interpretation of every scripture, but there are many applications, all right? So tonight he said, go thou to the sea and cast an hook and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money, that take and give unto them for me and thee. As I read these verses, I think we actually read them in family altar one night, Brother Rick, and God began to speak to me through those verses. It was the last of the chapter, and we read at the beginning of the family altar, and Brother Elijah, it was like a ton of bricks just slapped me in the head. Amen. I mean, God said, right there's your message. Amen. Has that ever happened to you? I mean, it was just, I couldn't wait to get done with family altar that night. I couldn't sleep that night, Brother Fred. I tried to lay down, but I had messages going through my heart and my mind. And I said, hey, I got to go write this down because I will forget it. That's why I was writing stuff down a while ago. I will forget it. And as soon as that those words ran across my eyes that night at family altar, another verse came into my heart. Matthew 4:19, where Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. That's right. Y'all know the verse. All right. So tonight, using this fish as a type of a man, I want to preach on let's go fishing. Let's, and y'all know a little bit about this around here. And if there's ever been a message that is custom fit for an area, we're in it right now. All right, so the first thing I see about fishing, and listen, y'all are going to have a lot of stuff to tell me about fishing after this. I want to hear every bit of it. Matter of fact, write it down, because I will use it. I will preach it like I stole it. Amen. I am a Baptist preacher, Brother Elijah. First thing I see about fishing, and I didn't mean for this to rhyme, but it does. There's the commission for fishing. Jesus said, go thou. Tonight, the last thing that Jesus told us is still the first thing that we are to be doing every day, and that is going. Amen. The first two letters of the gospel is go. The Bible said in Acts 1:8, Jesus said, go and be witnesses of me unto Jerusalem, Judea, just into Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. It is still the commission for the church. God did not lead us here to be a social club. God did not leave us here to be a food pantry. I'm not against being a food pantry, and I'm not against you socializing. Amen. Kids, don't meet your wife or a husband in a bar. Meet them at church. Amen. And then meet them in the right kind of church. Can I get an amen right there? But tonight, that's not the primary purpose of the church. The primary purpose is not so we can crochet together or knit together. I don't know if y'all have a knitting club or anything like that, but I'm not against it. It's a good thing. Amen. Make me some socks. Praise God. But tonight, that is not the main purpose of the church. The main purpose of the church is to get outside of these four walls and take the gospel to every creature. As I mentioned yesterday, we have that command to go across the street, to go across the states, and go across the seas. The gospel needs to go. Every creature needs a preacher. And Brother Rick, the blood of this generation is on our hands. Every generation is responsible for the gospel getting to that generation. I'm going to throw some numbers out at you, and I'm going to slow down. I'm going to try to slow down. God's just helping me right now. Amen. Whew, amen. I got too close to the mountains, Brother Elijah. I feel like I'm in North Georgia. Amen. Tonight, there's 7.7 billion people in this planet. 7.7 billion. That's hard to put our minds around, isn't it? According to the UN census, I believe this was 2016, 146,000 people die every day. 146,000, Brother Rick. That's a lot of people every day. And then, Miss Rachel, there's a company called Barnum, and they do studies. It's a secular company. They have no religious affiliation, and they do studies quite often and censuses and just digging into cultures and stuff. They did a study, and they estimate that 2.2 billion people have never heard the name Jesus. 2.2 billion. And then they did another study, and they used this word loosely, but they said did a study about how many people had heard the gospel. And that could be the Mormon gospel or the social gospel or the Catholic gospel, whatever kind of gospel. Probably not mostly the gospel of the Bible. Okay, so this is a very loose number. They said that 3.5 billion people had never heard the gospel. On top of that 2.2 that had never heard his name, Brother Kevin. Brother Elijah, that's 5.7 billion people that's never heard. Tonight, if you compute those numbers in with what the UN puts out, roughly 70,000 people die every day never having heard his name or never having heard the gospel. Die every day and go to hell, a real hell. I'm convinced tonight that we believe in hell in the principle of hell, but we don't believe in the practicality of hell. When we see it on the page, we say, oh, that's real. In our mind, we know that's real. But Brother Kevin, in our daily lives, I don't believe we live out that it's real. Tonight, 70,000 people died, they having never heard. But what about those that we've told, and they die, and they go to the same hell because they didn't receive Christ? Tonight, it is a burdensome thing, what I'm about to tell you. In 1950, there was 3.5 billion people on this planet. Tonight, 7.7 billion. In 1950, there were over 100,000 missionaries leaving out of the United States going to other countries. Brother Fred, that's a big number, if you really think about it. That, and I believe the reason God let America have the blessings and the prosperity that we've had is because God wanted America to send more missionaries out than it's ever been sent out anywhere. Somebody say amen right there. God has blessed our country because he wanted our country to be a gospel-sending place. And God's going to take his hand off of us because we quit sending the gospel. And at the moment, it almost got real bad in the last administration, but we turn on Israel, you mark her down, we're done. We're done. Because we either believe the Bible or we don't, and it says, I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse him that curse thee. Amen. And we've seen it over and over and over. Don't tell me those seven nations that got around Israel in the Six-Day War, and they had all the tanks, and they had all the ammunition, and they couldn't beat a little country like that. Because God was on their side. Brother Kevin, 1948, before they could ever get the flag raised good, they were already under attack and God wiped out all their enemies. People in the street fighting with pitchforks. Literally, some of the Jews were out there fighting with pitchforks because that's all they had. And God delivered them. You better mark her down. We better be good to Israel. Man, I got off on that, didn't I? Amen. Brother Fred, I believe God's going to take his hand off America if we ever quit sending the gospel and if we ever quit supporting Israel. Amen. Over 100,000 missionary families going out of the United States in 1950. But Miss Arlene, did you know there's less than 32,000 tonight? If that same number keeps going by 2031, if that same digression happens, we will not have any missionaries leaving out of America going anywhere. Y'all with me tonight? Global warming is not our problem. Climate change is not our problem. Our neighbors and our loved ones and people that we may never see this side of eternity are dying and going to a Christless hell, having never heard his name and having never heard his gospel. Friend of mine, the biggest blessing that you ever had, it wasn't the coat you put on tonight. It wasn't even the air you breathe today. It wasn't the water that got to run off of your body, the hot water running over your hands, or the food in your pantry. The greatest blessing we've ever received, whether you're saved or not tonight, is the fact that we got to hear the gospel and somebody cared enough about our soul to go across that globe and take it to us. And we got to hear it and we got to believe it. The Holy Ghost of God touched our hearts, drew us with cords of love, and we get to be saved tonight. That doesn't make us any better than the heathen tonight in the jungles of the Amazon with a bone through their nose. The only difference is we got to hear the gospel. There's the commission of fishing. Tonight, there's number two. He said, go thou to the sea. I see the coast for fishing. Now, this is deep, y'all. Follow me now. If we're going to catch fish, we got to go to where the fish are at. Deep, isn't it, Brother Kevin? You knew where I was going with it. You know what we've been doing in the Baptist church the last 30 years? We've been fishing in a barrel. Do I want church kids to get saved? Yes, because I was one and my kids are one. I'm talking Southern now, are one. You understood it, Miss Arlene. Well, Brother Rick, I want these kids to get saved. But most of the time in most churches, the only people they ever see saved is the kids. Because we're fishing in a barrel. We got to get outside these walls. There are people in this community that have, you think everybody in this community would have heard the gospel, but not everybody's heard the gospel. And you can even say the gospel to a lot of people, Brother Elijah, and they think that you have to add the Eucharist, or you have to add baby baptism, or you have to add baptism by immersion, or you have to add speaking in tongues, or you got to add this. But tonight, most people don't know the gospel. They may have heard the term be saved, but you can go all over the Southeast and say, have you ever been saved? Most people said, this is the two answers. They'll either say, yeah, I prayed the prayer when I was 12, or they'll say, I got baptized when I was 12. And neither one of those are salvation. I wish that thing was open. My childhood pastor, he would open that up, put an amen down there and close it. Amen. I've got that same habit. Brother Kevin, most people in this town have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. How many people's in this town? Anybody know? 1,200? Is that right? Big metropolis of Craig. You know, I'm coming in, and I'm only getting to be here for a few days. And I have a responsibility while I'm here. But the blood of this of Craig, Alaska, that it's not going to be on my hands. If this town dies and goes to hell. Now listen, you can't make people get saved, but you better believe you can get the gospel to people. And you better get the gospel to people. And we're going to have to go to where they're at. Amen. There's a church up in the northern part of the state, and they go every Monday, rain, sleet, or snow, and they go every Monday, and they street preach and march out in front of the abortion clinics. And they've already had two close down, and the Planned Parenthood in that town may be about to close down. Y'all listening to me? They said that first one closed down because the workers would look out the window every Monday and they were afraid because the preacher and them were praying against them and they were afraid God was going to destroy them if they kept going. This is a true story. They said the second one closed down because they said all through the summer that second one opened up and they said everybody, they would come out all during the summer and the fall and they would march and then winter hit and it's cold. And they said they had like 2 foot of snow on the ground one day and it was blizzarding. And those Baptists were out there marching in front of the, and praying in front of the, I don't remember the pastor's name. Y'all had to, Duffett, yes. And they said that he was out there marching and praying, that church. And they said the people from the abortion clinic was out there bringing them coffee. And they said the thing didn't stay open much longer after that. They said that they had those Christians had such an impact on those abortion workers that they closed it down. And I believe that Planned Parenthood is going to be closed down too. Amen. Amen. Abortion's murder too, by the way. Amen. There is no exception. One sin of rape or incest does not facilitate taking the life of another human being. That is not your life. That is not my life. It is not my decision. when they tried to get us to abort our little girl that died, they tried, they offered with her, hey, they don't want these babies to live, and they've got an agenda about it. And amen, amen, and amen. I ought to run from here to Goobertown, Arkansas on that preaching. Amen. No use in it. Amen. What did I get off on abortion for? How many bars y'all say y'all had in this town of 1,200 people? Five? Three? Two? Whatever. Three? Too many. One too many. Amen. Have we ever prayed it? I'm not talking about going and screaming at them or throwing stuff at them. I'm talking about, have you ever went and had a prayer meeting out in front of it? Does this town know the gospel that this church preaches? For too long we've waited for them to come in our doors. For too long we've waited for them to come to us. But the commission is not to stay, it's to go. God did not save us to sit. God saved us to send. Tonight, I don't go to those church planters because it makes me happy. I mean, I enjoy it, but that's not, Brother Kevin, I'm going up there because I want to see people saved. I don't leave my beautiful little family for weeks at a time to go over to Papua New Guinea and eat boiled root because I like it. We go because they've never heard. They've never heard, Brother Fred. Never heard. Tonight, we're going to have to go to where they're at. You say, Brother Chris, will tracts work? People say all the time, I don't think tracts work in our day. A gospel tract. Well, I say, you're a liar. I grew up in church. Y'all have heard my story. I'm a third-generation preacher. My daddy's a preacher. My granddaddy's a preacher. My brother's a preacher. And my grandmother's a preacher, if we believed in that. Amen. Y'all can laugh. It's okay. We don't believe in that. Amen. No such creature as a woman preacher. Amen. Not even Beth Moore or Joyce Meyer. Somebody say amen right there. But my wife didn't grow up in church. My wife grew up in a drug addict's home. My wife grew up not knowing what saved meant. My wife grew up going to school across the street from an independent Baptist church, but nobody cared enough about her soul to give her the gospel. Miss Arlene, when sometime while my wife was about 17 years old, a new church or a new pastor come to town and they started knocking on doors and telling people about Jesus. Brother Kevin, they left a track on the Ezra family's door. And the Ezra family, the mama was already saved, the daddy was already saved, a lot of the kids were saved, but they were out of church. And the mama, whose kids were grown, she called her kids and said, "We're going to church tomorrow." They just left a track on the door. Nobody was home. A track. A gospel track. And it got that family back in church. Joe Ezra fell in love with Christy Shepherd. Christy Shepherd and her family got into that same church because of a gospel track. Miss Arlene, it wasn't long that Reba Shepherd, Christy's sister, she was on the cheerleading team. And there was a beautiful, curly-headed, beautiful young lady on the cheerleading team. By the way, when she got saved, she quit cheerleading. There ain't nothing godly about kicking your leg up in front of a bunch of people. Somebody say amen right there. That's good preaching, Brother Chris. Amen. Sign my own Bible at the church. Amen. And she invited a young lady named Chloe Carnegie to church. Miss Chloe, she was fresh. She didn't have no idea, Miss Rachel. She said the first time she went in and all the men went to the prayer room and they started praying out loud. And, "Oh God, help us tonight. Amen. Oh God." She thought they were sacrificing something back there. Brother Elijah, she started going to church. After a month of hearing the gospel, my wife got saved. Because, does it work? It works. It absolutely does. A bus ministry work? You better believe it. Because my pastor is an 8-year-old boy that he said he was him and his brother were the only kids living on the street in an old blue Dodge van that smoked like a Winston man. Amen. Coming down the street, said they came and they knocked on his door one Saturday and they had one of them long stick candy canes. Y'all remember them? Amen. He said, "Oh, if you give them a candy cane to give them church, you'll have to give them something else. Friend, I'll eat a bus if it'll get somebody to church and get them saved." Somebody say amen right there. But Brother Elijah, he said that they said, hey, if your boys will come, we'll give them one of these candy canes. He said, I didn't know anything about God. I knew my daddy was a drunkard. He said, but I wanted that candy cane. He said he started going to church and he started hearing the gospel as a 12-year-old boy. Hey, he heard the message preached on hell. He went home under conviction that whole week, came back the next week. He said that, hey, God is just dealing with him. He went to his bus driver. It was a storefront building. He took him to a Sunday school room after church, knelt on a kitchen chair, and my pastor got saved because of a bus ministry. Said that man started picking him up on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. He ran a paper route, and his brother and him would sit back there and roll up papers and listen to Bible stories. He said one Sunday morning he was standing out at the end of the driveway. He'd been saved for several years now, but he couldn't drive yet. He was standing out at the end of the driveway with his brother, and they heard the door shut behind him. They turned around, and here come his mama up the road in a dress. He said, I thought Jesus was coming back because I'd never seen my mama in a dress. He said, here come my mama coming up the road and coming up the driveway in a dress. Got on the bus with me and my brother, and guess who got saved that Sunday morning? Brother Gravely's mama. Hey, it wasn't about 10 years ago. His old drunk of a daddy. It took that. Decades, Miss Arlene, but because somebody ran an old blue Dodge smoking van down a road and picked up two snotty-nosed kids, hey, glory to God tonight, hey, somebody poured out their liquor after they got saved, and his daddy hadn't touched a lick of drop of liquor ever since. Listen, preaching tonight, praise God. We're going to have to go to where they're at. It works. You don't see these church pews full? Go get somebody. Quit telling just about church. Start telling about Jesus. Yeah. Well, too long. We've cop out. It doesn't hurt my flesh a bit to invite somebody to church. But you know what I should have done to Dick today? I should have told him the gospel. Right there, standing in the woods, I should have said, Dick, let me tell you about Jesus. And I didn't. And I'm ashamed of it. I'm ashamed. I invited him to church because it didn't bother my flesh. Old logger, he didn't want to hear the gospel. That's what we think, isn't it? God might have put him in the woods today so two men could come and witness to him. And I didn't do it. Confess your faults. How many heard today? How many people on this island heard the gospel today from our lips? I see the commission. I see the coast. This is the good part. Brother Fred, get ready. This is the catching part. Amen? The catching of the fish. There's the commission for fishing, the coast for fishing, but there's the catching of the fish. Look at what he says. He said, go thou to the sea and cast and hook. Now, there's a lot of things wrong with this statement. Y'all don't get nervous. There's nothing wrong with the Bible. But what was Peter before he got saved? He was, say it louder, fisherman. And this is the Sea of Galilee, because we know that because they're at Capernaum. This is the Sea of Galilee, Brother Winston. And Peter was a commercial fisherman, all right? Brother Fred's peaked up. He's done popped his ear out here. He's got his ear on, amen. Like a CB, anybody got the ears on, amen? Brother Rick, Peter was a commercial fisherman. Peter knew that sea like the back of his hand. He had been trained since a child because his daddy was a fisherman. His friends were fishermen. He knew everything about that sea. He knew the pattern of the fish. He knew how they schooled. He knew everything about those fish. He knew when to go out. He knew when to come in. He knew how to mend his nets. Miss Arlene, his whole life he had fished like this. Y'all with me? His whole life he had fished like this. And God said, I want you to forget everything you've ever learned about fishing. I want you to throw all logic out the window. I want you to throw all intellect out the window. And Peter, here's how you're going to catch this fish. Oh, I'm about to shout, praise God. Calm down over there, amen? He got me riled up yesterday, too. Peter, I want you to forget everything. I want you to forget everything that's ever been poured into you. I want you to forget everything, how you learned. And I want you to go stand on that shore and you throw a hook in the water. Brother Rick, this is the only time in the Bible where anybody catches a fish with a hook. Every other time it's nets. This is the only time. It doesn't make sense. This is not logical. This is not how he's trained. I want you to forget all that, Peter. I don't want you going out there. Can y'all imagine Peter that day? Everybody knows him on the Sea of Galilee. Am I right? Everybody knows Peter. I mean, he's a pretty popular guy. That girl at the temple knew him. That everybody at the Sea of Galilee where he worked his whole life knew him. Y'all imagine old Peter, he's got that Zevco 33. It's over there. He gets between two palm trees. All right, fish, hurry up before somebody sees. You know why? Because it was foolish with everything that Peter knew. With the culture of that day and how they caught fish, it was foolish for Peter to be standing out there with a rod and reel trying to catch a fish. He didn't really have a Zebco, all right? I know, don't give him up to me after church. So that's not, anyway. Here's another thing about this. What's missing in this chat, in this text? What's missing? Bait! There ain't no bait on. You say, well, now, Brother Chris, we can suppose that there is bait on the hook. No! He said, cast and hook. Either we believe the Bible or we don't. I believe the Bible. There ain't no bait on that hook. That's silly! Brother Rick, can you imagine the fish on the other side? Here's this fish. And he's looking at that thing. He's like, that fool didn't put no food on that thing. I mentioned to you the sea's dark and it's tempestuous. That's why we got to go to where they're at. They're in the sea and they're in a mess. That's the sea's the top of the world. Amen. Sea is unpredictable a lot of times. The sea is, a storm will get up on you. You know why we didn't go and set the... He said this today. We went to go to fly the drone and to do some video, and he said we can't go too far out because the tides, they're very unpredictable. Is that the word you said? How far they come up. We don't know how far they're going to come up, how quick they're, all that stuff. I didn't know that. I'm glad he told me. I'd have been out there videoing like a redneck from the south and get swept up by the current. Amen. Brother Rick, here he is, and he throws this hook off into the darkness of that sea. And that fish has got to be thinking, there's nothing appealing about that. That's gruesome. Man, that could hurt me if I bite it. And I don't want that. There might have been some dried up blood from another fish on there. It was a gory hook. There was nothing appealing about that. Was there anything appealing about that hook? You said, Brother Chris, you're losing me here. Follow me one more time. Hear me out before you throw me out, all right? Watch this. If Peter would have went down there and cast a net and went and got on a boat and cast a net and went to his honey hole, somebody could have patted Peter on the back. If Peter would have had the right kind of stink bait, y'all know what I'm talking about around here? And had the right kind of jig or the right kind of worm, Brother Kevin, somebody could have left there saying, man, what a fisherman. But that ain't what God wanted, was it? You know why God did this? He wanted to get the glory. He said, I want you to go cast a naked hook in that water. And then the fish is on the other side and it's repelling, and the fish doesn't want to bite that. There's nothing about that makes that fish want to bite it. But all of a sudden, can we use our imagination tonight? That line is hooked to the top of that eyelid of that hook, the weight's at the bottom, and it's slowly going down. He doesn't have a sinker. He doesn't have bait. We have to take the Bible for what it says. He had a hook in that water. And that hook is slowly spinning down. Can y'all see it? And every time that hook is spinning, that light from the sun is shining off that hook into the darkness. And it wasn't bait. It wasn't how Peter dressed that hook up that drew that fish to that hook. It was the light. Friend of mine, tonight, you say, Brother Chris, what are you talking about? I'm glad you asked. Tonight, can I remind y'all that God's given us one way to reach the lost? And that's the hook of the gospel. And he doesn't want us to dress it up. He doesn't expect us to use intellect or logic. Matter of fact, 1 Corinthians 1 said he chose the foolishness of what? Preaching. It's foolish. It's foolish. It's foolish to this world. They don't understand it tonight. It doesn't make sense to them. It's not intellectual. It's not logical. It's gruesome. It's gory. There's nothing appealing. But God said it's going to be foolishness to the Gentiles. It's going to be a stumbling block to the Jew. And that's the only two groups of people we're going after, is the Jew and the Gentile, because that's all there are. And Brother Kevin, he said it's going to be foolishness and a stumbling block to both of them. He said, but this is what you're going to use, because every once in a while you're going to throw the hook of the gospel out, and they're going to laugh, they're going to make fun. But every once in a while they're out there in the sea and that hook's just spinning around in front of their face, the light of the sun is going to hit that hook, and light's going to go into their darkness. And though they may have heard it 100 times, or maybe it's the first time they've ever heard it, eventually somebody's going to bite that hook. If we dress it up, if we try to make it less offensive. If you give somebody the gospel and it's not offensive, you didn't give those people the gospel. We try to dress it up so much and ease it in and make it so comfortable to people. It's not designed to be that. Back home, growing up, I'd hear preachers all the time say, well, you know, we preach the gospel on Sunday morning. That's when our visitors come in, and we don't want to offend anybody. If you're preaching the gospel and it doesn't offend, it's not the gospel. Can I say to New Hope Baptist Church tonight, just keep casting the hook. Just keep giving them the hook. Just keep throwing it out there. If you get anything from this revival, get a burden to send the light, just to cast the hook out, to go, to keep going, to keep going, to keep going. Because you, every time you go out and fish, unless you're Brother Fred, you don't catch a fish. Amen. Every once in a while, one of them's going to bite the hook. Tonight, I see the commission, I see the coast, I see the catching, I see the concern. Look here, he said, take up, what's that next word? The fish that first cometh up. There's the concern for fishing. Brother Brian, that's a definite article. I'm not a very smart man, and you're a teacher, amen? But you're a music teacher, right? You're not an English teacher. Do we have any English teachers here? Who? You're an English teacher. Is that a definite article? Is that right? I think that's right. The word the. That is a definite. I got it right. It's an article. He wasn't talking, Miss Arlene, every other time in the Bible, because they're using nets, it's a draught of fish. Or it's so many fish that the nets break. Or it's so many fish that they have to get somebody to come with another boat and help them get it in. Or it's 2 loaves, or 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Or it's enough fish to just feed the disciples. But this time, Brother Elijah, it's just 1 fish. Oh, I'm about to preach. I'm glad, oh glory to God, I'm glad he cares about the multitudes. I'm glad that God cares about the draughts and the big comings ins. And I'm glad we had a great awakening in this country where thousands upon thousands got saved. But you know what I'm thankful for? I'm glad that on September 19, 1999, as an 11-year-old boy, as I sat on the front row, that God had cared about the fish. There was other people getting saved around me, but I'm glad he was concerned about the fish. And tonight, if you're here and you've never been saved, some of you have been raising your hand, some of you have been saying you're lost and you need to be saved, I'm glad tonight on this cold Monday night, as the gospel's being preached one more time, the hook's been cast out, I'm glad he's still concerned about you tonight. He wants to save you, sinner. He wants you to be saved tonight. But let's look at it from the other side. What if Peter would have delayed? What if Peter would have tried to complain to God about the way he told him to do it? What if Peter would have been too ashamed to just go cast a naked hook into the sea? He would have missed, Miss Rachel, he would have missed the fish. There was 1 fish on his heart that day. And you know what? When you feel that nudge to give out a gospel tract, these things hanging on the wall, they're not pocket ornaments. I know a bunch of people, they don't ever give them out. They just wear them in their pocket, look religious. like a Pharisee in their long garments. Somebody say amen right there. Anyway, pray for me. Miss Arlene, those aren't pocket ornaments. But you know what? Every once in a while, I'll be going through an airport, or I'll be in a gas station, or I'll be talking to somebody, and the Lord will nudge me to give them a track. You know what, Miss Natalie? And a lot of times I say, oh, that ain't God. Look here. The devil don't want you to give anybody a track. Your flesh don't want you to give anybody a track. And the world doesn't want you to give anybody a track. So if somebody's dealing with you about giving out a track, who is it? It's the Lord. Okay, there we go. It's the Lord. How many of y'all ever felt that nudge? You ever felt, not just for a track, but to tell somebody, to open up that conversation, to cast the hook. And how many of us, and I'll raise my hand first, how many of us has not given in to that nudge from God? And you know what? How many times have we missed the fish? How many times have we missed the fish that God had for us that day? I see the concern. Lastly tonight, I see the cause. Why is this important? And we know for the actual context, they needed the coin, all right? Right? But for application's sake, why is it important? Why did this fish need to be caught? Why do we need to catch fish tonight? Catch men. And here's the answer. What was in that fish's mouth? By the way, if that hook would have been all dressed up, there wouldn't have been room for that hook and that coin in that fish's mouth. God knows sinners are carrying enough around anyways. They don't need to add a bunch of fluff to it. It needs to be plain. Needs to be offensive. Needs to be the hook. But Elijah, there was a coin in that fish's mouth. Anybody got a coin? I don't have any. That's not a coin, I promise. I got keys. And nobody carries cash no more, do they? Anybody got a coin? Hey, what'd it be? What'd it be? Winston got a coin. Amen. Okay. All right. Now, I know he wasn't our king, but George Washington was our president, our first president. This is a quarter. And his face is on there. In Jesus' time, we can use other scripture. There was a time that they asked him about taxes, and they said, "What should we pay taxes?" And he said, "Bring me the coin." And whose superscription is this? That was the picture. And they said, "Caesar's." And he said, "Render unto Caesar's that which is Caesar's." So can we take from that text and apply it to this text that this coin would have been a full shekel, and it would have had, because of the time he was living in, it would have had Caesar's picture on the front. Is that right? So he was the king of Rome. He was the emperor of Rome. So this coin falls down into the ocean because that fish didn't go and rob it from that guy. And the coin goes down. It's a fallen image of the king. Somehow that fallen image of the king is in that fish. Are y'all following me? There is a fallen image of the king in that fish. And Jesus wanted to redeem that fallen image of the king so he could take that fallen image of the king and he could redeem somebody else with it. Now watch this. Did you know every one of us tonight and everybody outside these walls, you know what's living inside of us? A fallen image of the king. We're created in his likeness, Brother Rick. And because of Adam and Eve, and because we are sinners by choice and we are sinners by nature, tonight, if you're lost, and those people out here that are lost, they're fallen, they're still in darkness, they're still in the sea. And you know what God did when he saved you, when he pulled you up out of the sea of this world, when he redeemed you not to just sit on a shelf, he redeemed you to take and redeem others. And tonight, you know why we need to go fishing? It's that one sinner. Have y'all ever seen this happen? It's that one sinner, that rough sinner, that person that God's put on your heart. And you win them. You put the hook out for them. And they bite the hook. They get saved. They repent. Believe the gospel. And then they tell their friends. And their friends see the change in them. And before you know it, this pew's filled up. Before you know it, this pew's filled up. And before you know it, y'all are having to build two or three new buildings. You know why? Because one redeemed person needs to redeem another person. And needs to redeem another person. And needs to redeem another person. Tonight, the answer, I used to read books, and here, I'm about to steal this quarter. Whose was it? That's Winston. Here you go, Winston. There you go. About to steal a quarter. Thief. Why don't you give that an offering? No, I'm just kidding. Tonight, it's a ripple effect. When somebody gets saved, it ripples into a pond that we're not a part of. And then that pond ripples into another, and ripples and ripples and ripples. And God wants to redeem those fallen images tonight, His likeness. And tonight, it's our job to go and cast the hook. This revival, God may accomplish so many other things, and a lot of times we don't see what God, the eternal things God accomplishes. But if it accomplishes anything else, I pray that you would get a burden for this island. You would get a burden for your loved ones and your co-workers and your classmates and your friends and your enemies. I'm sure you have an enemy on this island. And you get a burden for them. Quit just believing in the principle of hell and start believing in the practicality of hell. We have a head faith of the gospel, and we believe it. We know it. We're saved, but we have this knowledge of the gospel. But has it ever gotten into our feet and went? A lot of us are intellectual believers, but we're not action believers. We're not practical believers. And I wonder tonight, when was the last time you went fishing? We all raised our hand a while ago, and we've all felt that nudge. Those of us that are saved, we've all felt that nudge. And unfortunately, we've all rejected that nudge. Maybe it was today when we meet Mr. Dick out in the woods, and I had to pray about that earlier. It was a regret. Or maybe it's somebody you met at school today or at work today, or somebody you've worked with all your life, or you've known all your life, and you just never told them. Tonight, we can talk about the people in North Korea, and we can talk about the people in China. We can talk about the people with the bones in their nose in the Amazon down in Brazil. What about the people right here on Prince of Wales Island that's never heard? That's our responsibility. Let's all stand. Heads are bowed, and eyes are closed. Miss Natalie, can you just come and play something for me? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I wonder tonight, is there anybody here who will say, Brother Chris, God put somebody on my heart tonight that I need to be a witness to, that I need to tell about Jesus. And preacher, I want you to pray for this person. You don't have to get, as a matter of fact, you can give me their name. If you write it down, I mean this with all my heart, I will pray over that name. But is there anybody say, preacher, tonight while you're preaching, God put somebody on my heart. Would you slip your hand up? Hands are going up. Thank you. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. God put a fish on your heart tonight. If you'll write those names down, I'm not being facetious. I'm not being funny. I'm not trying to be braggadocious. I will pray for those names if you'll write them down. Try to get them here. I'd love to preach the gospel to them. But I wonder tonight, is there anybody here who'll say, Brother Hewitt, God's dealt with me about salvation. God's put the hook in front of me again tonight. Preacher, I need to be saved. Would you pray for me? Anybody? Preacher, I need to be saved. God, show me my need of salvation tonight again. Would you pray for me? Maybe you've already raised your hand this week and you just want to come on down right now. Would you come? I want to invite those that raised their hand and said, Brother Hewitt, God put somebody on my heart. Would you come down here and kneel down? Be willing to come up here and publicly just pray for them. Say, preacher, why would I do that? Well, it shows God we're serious. It knocks the pride out of us. It shows everybody else we're serious. We play games. We play church too long. Why don't we get sincere with God and show God and everybody else we're serious? If we'll move, it may be that lost people will move. We want the church, we want the world to get right, and we want sinners to get right, but we don't want to get right oftentimes. So tonight, as Miss Natalie plays, would you come? Would you come? That's right. Would you come? People are coming. Would you come as well? Lord, I pray that you touch in this altar call. I pray, Father, that you touch these that are even coming now. Lord, there's people that need to be saved here. There's lives that need to be changed, dear Father. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you touch folks tonight. Lord, that we be sensitive. Lord, I pray that you touch these sinners that are in our midst tonight, that they come and they be born again. I pray, dear God, that you touch families and lives. Touch these names. Lord, many people tonight raised their hands, said that you put people on their heart. And I pray that you touch these names, these souls that need to be saved. We love you, Lord. Touch us, we pray.